Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins at Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. Thanks for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, I know all the rave, all the talk in South Florida right now is on the two teams getting ready to start their championship series. We got the Miami Heat up in Denver, about to kick off game one of the NBA Finals on Wednesday, and the Panthers in Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. The first game of that best of seven series is starting on Saturday. So all the attention is on there, on those two teams and those two series. But we still got some Dolphins news to recap. The Dolphins fresh off the Memorial Day weekend, holding their second open OTA practice. Mike McDaniel spoke before practice. We had a couple players speak after practice, and some interesting developments taking place at the Baptist Health Training Complex. So we're going to get into all of that recent days. Mike McDaniel, and on Wednesday morning, Mike McDaniel confirmed that the team will be holding a pair of joint practices with the Houston Texans. So that's the second set of joint practices they're going to have in training camp ahead of preseason games. They're also hosting the Atlanta Falcons ahead of their first preseason game. So Dolphins, slowly but surely, getting closer to the season, getting some things together with their training camp schedule. And like I said, on Wednesday, they held their second open OTA practice. So we're going to get into all of that, starting with the offense and with what was a very, very strong day for the offense, particularly Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I know, as always, all the attention is on Tua. How is he looking? Is he on point? Is he struggling? And I will say, after what was kind of a normal day for him last week's open OTA practice, I think that he showed really good command of the offense. I think he had the biggest play of the afternoon, which was a 45-yarder to Robbie Chosen down the field, middle of the field, after he split a pair of defenders. But again, overall, I thought it was a very, very strong day for him. You know, I never want to make too much of OTA practices, but I did think that it was a day where he showed great command of the offense, not a lot of passes, hitting the ground in team drills. And that's definitely what you want to see from somebody who's entering their fourth year, second year in the system, just having a real confidence in it. And particularly without Tyreek Hill. Now, again, these practices are all voluntary sessions until we get to mandatory minicamp and training camp. So you never want to make a big deal about who's there and who's not. But I kind of made an offhand comment during practice that I think that Tyreek Hill not being in attendance might honestly be a good thing for Tua and this offense, because you know, they were so dependent on him last year. And we know that Tyreek is going to be a big part of this offense, and as well as Jalen Waddle. But I think it's important for him to build rapport with some of the returning guys, as well as the newcomers, particularly guys that are competing for that number three wide receiver spot, that being Robbie Chosen, Eric Azukama, Cedric Wilson, River Craycraft, Braxton Berrios. All those guys, I think, had really good days, which we're going to get to later. But again, really strong day for Tua. Mike McDaniel spoke about kind of a new, new to the team thing that they're doing. And with Tua, I know a lot of people saw pictures on social media, but Tua, as well as the other quarterbacks, have been wearing a video camera attached to the helmet. Mike McDaniel said, you know, they can see, they can hear everything that comes from the huddle, and they can see Tua's kind of line of vision. So, you know, Mike McDaniel said that having that camera and kind of looking back at the video footage after the fact, it allows him to really drive home certain teaching points. It allows him to kind of see where his eyes are, what he's doing with his progression. I think it's going to be interesting. We haven't heard from Tua yet, but it is going to be interesting to hear kind of what Tua has learned from, you know, having that extra footage. Because, you know, you have the All-22, but this is an opportunity to really see things from his perspective. So it's kind of like an extra pair of eyes for Tua. But nonetheless, I thought it was a very strong day for Tua, as well as the backup quarterbacks, Skylar Thompson and Mike White. I had Skylar connecting with Braylon Sanders for a deep pass and team drills. Mike White, I know he threw an interception in the first open OTA practice. No turnovers for him today. Again, he moved the ball well down the field. He connected with Cedric Wilson on a really nice sideline grab by the intermediate throw and catch back in team drills. So that was good to see as well, because again, the backup spot, as I've been saying, it's one of the more important one of the more important positions up for grabs for the Dolphins, given Tua's injury. The hope is that, knock on wood, that he plays all 17 games and more. But if not, they really need capable and steady backup play if one of those guys is going to into action. So definitely a good sign to see both of them showing proficient command of the offense as well. And as I alluded to before, the wide receiver three battle is really heating up. Again, with Tyreek Hill not at the two open OTA practice, the voluntary sessions, it's been a real opportunity for pretty much the others to step up. Jalen Waddle. He had a really active day early in team drills. He had a nice leaping or kind of extension grab, jumping up and getting a grab over the middle of the field. But again, it's a real opportunity for one of those guys, those other guys, to step up. And we've seen through two OTA practices that multiple guys, it seems, can get the job done. As I said before, Cedric Wilson, Braylon Sanders, who was a practice squad guy, but he was called up a couple of times. He made some plays as well. Not the, kind of more of a quiet day from Erik Azukama. Didn't really see him much in team drills. But as I said before, Robbie Chosen, Braxton Berrios, all those guys making plays. And it was interesting to hear Cedric Wilson speak after practice. And this was probably the first time since late in the season that we've spoken to him, and just did some trade rumors and whatnot. But he reiterated that he wants to be in Miami, despite the trade rumors and things not going his way in terms of opportunities in 2022. He went on to say that the thing that he likes about this offense is that anybody can get the ball. That's just the way it's built. Obviously, Tyreek and Jalen are going to dominate the targets. But again, I think there's a real opportunity for one of those guys to step up. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Dolphins, really do. Obviously, we're not allowed to divulge scheme and specifics of plays and whatnot. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Dolphins do, not only for replacing Trent Sherfield, but Mike Gesicki. Because Mike Gesicki was kind of essentially a hybrid slot, big slot wide receiver. But Trent really took on a lot of duties in terms of not only catching and blocking. Mike McDaniel was asked about replacing Mike Gesicki and kind of that vertical seam threat. And he said, hey, there's a lot of wide receivers that could probably step into that role as well. It's not necessarily that they need a tight end to fill that role. And obviously they have Durham Smythe, who's more in line. They didn't really get a Mike Gesicki replacement, so to speak. They did draft Elijah Higgins from Stanford, and he's converting from wide receiver to tight end. And he has that, that body type and that skill set to be able to take on that role. But McDaniel said that, it could potentially be a wide receiver that takes on some of those similar duties. So I think the Dolphins are going to have a lot of very tough decisions. I mean, we've spoken for several weeks and months about how strong this roster is from top to bottom. But when you look at two positions, and one I'm going to talk about in the second half of the podcast, when we talk about the wide receiver spot, there's going to be a lot of tough decisions. Because again, you have, I would say, two guys for sure that are without a doubt going to make this roster, in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And then you have a third guy in Braxton Berrios, who is competing for the number three spot. But I think he's like very, very, his spot on the 53-man roster is pretty set. If he's not the number three receiver, he's probably going to be number four, or and as well as be a top return specialist for them. But after that, you have a lot of question marks. You really don't know. I think Erik Azukama, as a former fourth round pick, is going to make the roster, but where does he slot in terms of the offensive depth chart? I mean, that's a fair question. And like I said before, Robbie Chosen, Cedric Wilson, there's a team, jump in and trade for him. Chris Greer admitted and acknowledged that the team has taken some phone calls, and teams have called about Cedric Wilson. But I think that as it stands right now, it's best to definitely keep him and allow him to compete for that, because who knows, he might emerge as that number three guy. He was a top slot receiver with the Dallas Cowboys a couple years back, which is why he got the deal that he got from the Dolphins. So there's a lot of good competition for the wide receiver three spot. And I think that, we're just going to see that continue as we continue to progress into management mini camp and training camp and get into the preseason. Last note from the offense from second open OTAs practices, Devon Achane. I think the Dolphins got something there. I really do. Third round pick, fastest running back in the draft class. We spoke last week about the impact he's making in the passing game. Didn't catch as many passes or wasn't targeted as much in this second open OTA practice. But he's still, the Dolphins are finding ways to get the ball in his hands. And if, the first two practices are any indication, that's going to be a staple of the offense, that they're going to find ways to get the ball in his hands. He got past the defense for a long grab across the sideline today. And again, can't divulge too much into scheme. But Mike McDaniel is going to be creative in terms of getting the ball in the hands of this guy. He's made a really strong impression on media, the coaches, and his teammates. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I believe they were down in Texas for Tyreek Hill's camp. I know he's having like a speed camp or something like that. He's been doing that in some different spots across the country. They were in Texas last weekend, I believe, and they had rave reviews about Devon Achane. And again, second OTA practice where he's making plays. So he's a guy to continue to look out for as the season progresses. I know that they have a log jam, so to speak, in the backfield with Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, Myles Gaskin, Salon Ahmed. I know that there's still rumblings about Dalvin Cook, and Barry and I reported about that in terms of what the Dolphins could do after they get the post June 1 money from Byron Jones's release. But I will say, I think the Dolphins got somebody there, got something there with Devon Achane. And he's going to be a very, very key part of this offense if the first two practices are any indication. And hey, they're just two practices. I could be wrong. I've been wrong several times, but he's looking like a guy. So just quick hidden notes and thoughts on the offense from second open OTA practice. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to get into the defense, what I thought from that group, as well as some more stuff. So stay locked with us, and we'll be back soon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins of the Depth, talking all things Dolphins, recapping the Dolphins' second OTA practice open to second OTA practice open to reporters and media. The first half broke down some thoughts on the offense, strong days from Tua, really all the quarterbacks. Only one was intercepted. I'm going to get into that. The second half, strong day for pretty much the other wide receivers stepping up, continuing to make plays, as well as Devon Achane continuing to make a strong impression and an impact in the passing game. Now, the second half, we're going to talk on the defense. And I want to first start kind of combining my thoughts on the Dolphins at defense as it relates to the offense, because, in OTAs, you hear so much about, and just, all these summer and spring practices, you hear a lot about, this side of the ball looking really good. And just the general inclination is to think, all right, well, if this side is doing good, if the offense is doing good, the defense is struggling, or if the defense is looking good, the offense is struggling. And sometimes that might be the case, but for the most part, I mean, a lot of these practices, you see a lot of back and forth effort. It's not usually that one side just outwardly dominates one practice over the other. And I say that because, again, I was mentioning in the first half how there are multiple times where the offense connected on deep passes, beating the defense. Yes. But you always put it into kind of proper context. And I will say, I didn't mention it in the first half, but I will mention it now. No Xavien Howard, no Jalen Ramsey in team drills. Didn't see them at the second open OTA practice. Didn't want to make too much of a deal about it because, again, it's voluntary. A lot of the vets don't show up until the mandatory camp, training camp. But, it always is good and prudent to put that proper perspective in. However, I will say again, while defense did allow some deep passes, overall, and not speaking just to this practice or the practice we watched last week, but just from what we know about defensive coordinator Vic Fangio's scheme, it's a defense that is built to force offenses to work their way methodically down the field, and kind of trick them into making mistakes and being overly aggressive. Because we know in the NFL, it's all about the offense, it's all about the big plays. So it's this offense, this defense, I should say, is predicated and built around limiting the big plays. So outside of those two deep passes, I thought it was a very good day for the defense. They didn't really allow too much. They forced the quarterbacks to get to the check down. And I'll say that's kind of a win-win if you think about it. Because if, the coverage on the back end and the pass rush is sound enough that you're forcing quarterbacks to kind of get to the outlets, dump it down to the running backs or tight end, whoever is kind of underneath, I think that's a win as long as you rally to the ball and prevent yards after catch. So it's good for the defense. It's also good for the offense because you're not forcing anything. I mean, you don't want to do that. You don't want to get to a position where you're throwing the ball into tight windows and getting pass breakups or potential turnovers and interceptions and whatnot. So I thought there were a lot of kind of win-wins, or if you really want to side it one way, kind of wins for the defense. And kind of a big macro perspective and outlook on the impact of Vic Fangio and his defense, I think it's actually going to be beneficial for the offense in the long run. I think that we saw the second half of the season and kind of that last month, we saw Tua and the offense struggle with these types of defense that are playing kind of the too high cover shells. And, they got two safeties deep. They're dropping guys into coverage and not really rushing a lot. And kind of forcing those tough window throws. We saw Tua kind of struggle with that at times. And I think that these several months of offseason practice and training camp practices are actually going to be beneficial and kind of like I said, rewiring and reprogramming the thought process of the offense because they were so successful targeting, pushing the ball downfield, pushing the ball in the intermediate areas of the field, pushing the ball 10 to 15 yards and over the between the hashes, between the numbers. Like that was like there was a time where, like that's all the offense did. And while it was very successful, I think that we saw that when they struggled against the 49ers and the Chargers and some other teams, we saw like they didn't really have like the correct counters and kind of the wrinkles in the offense to get past that. I mentioned it in a story last week. How can the Dolphins offense improve? And I think part of that is building off of what they did in 2022, but also adding wrinkles to stymie and to work around the ways that defenses are going to try to stop them. And I think that targeting the short part of the field, particularly the short middle part of the field, is going to be very beneficial. That's why I think Devon Achane could have such a big impact because, running routes out of the backfield and whatnot, I think that's an area that he could take advantage of, catch the ball and get yards after catch. This defense, a lot of times, the defense that the Dolphins are going to be facing, every day in training camp and whatnot, they're going to force them to target that part of the field because they're not going to allow them to get past them and they're going to, put a lot of guys in zone coverages. So again, I think from a macro perspective, I think this is kind of one of those kind of sneaky storylines and things that you might not think of on the surface, but it's like, all right, Dolphins are going to, and Tua specifically is going up against a defense that is giving them troubles. And not only, this past season, but in years past. Finding different counters for that defense, I think it's going to be very beneficial once they get into real games against, live opponents in the regular season. Because again, teams are going to be watching that film for the last half of the season. They're going to see the ways that teams shut down the Dolphins offense. And, they might not replicate it, but they're going to take part of that game plan and try to use it against them. So I think this is very beneficial. And these are very key practices, not only for what the offense can do as you know, in a vacuum, but because of the defense that they're playing. But this is kind of my big picture thoughts on the defense and what it can do for the offense. Getting specific to what we saw Wednesday, just a couple hours ago, recording straight out, no, straight coming back from the Dolphins practice facility. I really want to harp on the competition at cornerback, because I think that, as I said before, there's going to be a lot of competition at wide receiver, but a lot of competition at cornerback. Again, no Jalen Ramsey, no Xavien Howard today. So an opportunity for a lot of the younger guys to come in, get some snaps and make plays. And I'll say one of them, actually multiple guys made plays, but the one interception, the one turnover, actually came from Noah Igbinoghene. 7-on-7s, undercutting a route thrown by James Blackman and picking it off. Likely pick six, but 7-on-7s, you know, plays dead after that. Cam Smith, second round rookie, the Dolphins' top draft pick in this I guess last month or so's draft, 2 months ago's draft. He undercut a route, had a pass breakup. Kidder Kohu getting some snaps and getting some good reps. Again, a lot of competition at cornerback. And if you're the Dolphins, this is what you want to see, especially after a season in which the position was decimated. Again, you look at the depth chart of the roster right now, there might be some tough decisions in terms of cornerbacks. I mean, the Dolphins honestly probably have more cornerbacks than they can roster as it stands. Because like I said, you have two guys who are for sure going to make the roster. I'll say, I mean, two for sure starters in Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard. And then you have Cam Smith, who has a second round pick, is going to make the roster. Kidder Kohu, who was a starter this previous season, he's going to have a role. So you have four guys right there, four cornerbacks that are for sure going to make the roster. And then you're kind of getting into some guys who are kind of up in there. You have some guys that are returning from injuries. You have some guys who are, you know, former top draft picks, and Noah Igbinoghene, like, the Dolphins declined his fifth or option. So there's kind of some questions around him. They can, in theory, cut him. And, you know, they have to take on a little bit of a dead cap charge. So that's going to be very interesting. But again, you have Nick Needham, who's coming off the Achilles, hasn't practiced yet. Trey Williams coming off the ACL, hasn't practiced yet. And then you have some just special team standouts who, you know, the Dolphins are going to keep certain guys just because of what they can do on special teams. So Justin Bethel, Keon Crossan, you would think that guys like that have a really strong chance to make the roster. But as it stands, I mean, just counting, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I would say 9 guys that are legitimately competing for roster spots, or not roster spots, but 9 guys in the mix for roster spots. And among those, again, as I said before, you have guys that are for sure going to make the roster. But, you know, the Dolphins keep 6 cornerbacks. I think there's a good chance they keep 6 cornerbacks just because of you need depth at the position. You know, you're going to play 3 cornerbacks on most plays anyway. Do they keep 7? I'm not sure. You start to get into an interesting numbers game, and there will be legitimate competition for that. But again, as I said, on the offensive side, you love to see the production from the wide receiver spot. You also love to see the production from the cornerback spot. And we got a lot of that in Wednesday's practice. Last two nuggets for the defense before I get out of here. Another active day for the defensive front. Now, again, always want to put it in a proper context. The Dolphins don't have two guys who are, you know, projected starters on the offensive line, not participating. But they have two projected starters not participating, that being Teron Armstead and Connor Williams. Teron Armstead, obviously a vet, you know, dealt with a lot of injuries. Probably not going to see him until training camp. I mean, I'm assuming he'll be in the round for mandatory minicamp, but won't practice much, if at all. But nonetheless, an active day from the defensive front again. I think Jalen Phillips had a very, very good day. He was in the backfield, kind of twice in the backfield, one for a likely sack, another time disrupting a run play. So that was good to see. I think for Jalen Phillips, it's interesting to see the progression in his overall growth, because in year one, he was a player who maybe wasn't ready to take on the play, the every down task. And that's something that he mentioned he wanted to do, getting more stout as a run defender and becoming an every down player. And I think he accomplished that goal in year two. But the key for him now is not only being an every down player, but being, you know, how do I say it? He's an every down player, but now he needs to be a player that the opposing offense has to account for every play. So you might be on the field every play, but are you making an impact or in some type of way, whether it's, you know, being stout against the run and getting a run stuff? Is it pressuring the quarterback, or is it, you know, being such an impact player that you force you command a double team and you're opening stuff up for your teammates? I mean, that's the next step for Jalen Phillips. And if he can really develop into that like bona fide Pro Bowl guy, as well as Bradley Chubb getting to that form, the sky's the limit for the defense. I mean, we talk about the talent on the defense at every level. If guys play to their potential, I think this is the makings of a top defense. So not only Jalen Phillips having a good day for me, Raekwon Davis was in the backfield as well. We saw him kind of burst through the line. And that's always been kind of like the interesting subplot for Raekwon Davis. We know he's the Dolphins' top nose tackle. He's their run stuffer. He's going to command a lot of double teams and open things up for other guys. But, you know, since he's entered the league as, I believe, a second-round pick, the coaches have been and himself have been looking for more production as a pass rusher. And that's something that I think that the Dolphins could really unlock in this defense that they haven't had in recent years, the interior pass rush. We know what Jalen Phillips can do, Emmanuel Ogbo when healthy. Zach Sealer has provided a bit of an interior pass rush, but they don't really have that consistent presence. And I think that's kind of it's a valued commodity because it's not in the NFL, because you don't see it a lot. I mean, there's not a lot of teams who have like legitimate interior pass rush, guys who can like actually dominate a game rushing from the interior. Now, obviously, Raekwon Davis's primary goal is going to be, stopping the run, taking up blockers and opening up for his teammates. He mentioned that, new defensive coordinator, but his role is mostly going to be the same, maybe a little wrinkles here and there. But again, that's just something to look out for. Dolphins need, I don't think they need one guy to be a superstar in this game, but I think that they need, everyone to kind of play to their potential and their ability. And maybe, add something, just something a little extra. And for Raekwon Davis, I think he got his first half sack this past season or so. If he can, kind of add that a little bit, just kind of push the pocket, collapse the pocket a little bit. It doesn't have to maybe get, multiple sacks, but if he can add a little bit of pressure and make it tough for the quarterbacks to fit into the pocket, who knows? That's just another dimension for this defense. So good day for him as well. Again, Zach Sealer, I think he was one of the other defensive players not in attendance, voluntary. I'm going to say that again and again and again when I'm mentioning guys who aren't there. Not a big deal, but it's good to see that, he's not there and other guys are stepping up for this defense, which is going to be really exciting to watch over the next several months. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast, recapping the Dolphins' second OTA practice open to media. Want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. So next week, got to get my dates right. Next week, the Dolphins will be having three straight days of mandatory mini camps. Hopefully we get to see the whole 90-man roster for the most part. Some of the veterans who haven't been at the ball spray sessions show up here, maybe Tyreek Hill, some others, and we'll have plenty of news, breakdowns, recaps, all of that. I have not only myself, but myself as well as Barry have recaps of Dolphins OTA practice, as well as media availabilities for Mike McDaniel and other players. We spoke to Tyler Croft and Cedric Obwehi, two of the Dolphins' new veteran additions this month. They spoke to reporters for the first time after practice. So definitely want to go to the website, check out my story on what they had to say about the opportunity in Miami. Again, we'll be back next week to recap more Dolphins football, more Dolphins offseason workout program. But until then, you guys take care. Enjoy the Heat series. Enjoy the Panther series. See you soon. Bye.